This podcast is sponsored by Bear Paint.
Hello, everyone. We're glad to have you back to The Conversation Continues with IDAEDI. We have another open mic podcast for you. This one is hosted with me, myself, Amrani Gonzalez, and Giselle Coleman, along with guest speaker Sergio Lechuga. He is the director of interior design at HMC Architects. We are so thrilled to have you here, Sergio. Would you like to give a brief introduction of who you are?
Sure. Thanks, Amari. Thanks, Giselle. Hello, everyone out there. My name is Sergio Lechuga. I'm with HMC Architects, and I'm the director of interior design. I've been with HMC for a little over 14 years now. I've been in a lot of different roles. I've been in the industry for, well, I graduated in 2005 from Cal Poly Pomona in architecture. So yeah, so I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me and allowing me to share my journey.
No, thank you for, you know, having us hear your story. As students, we always want to hear what people go through. So this podcast is kind of showing males that they can also be in the interior design.
Just out of curiosity, what was your first career choice?
Ever since I was little, I knew I wanted to be an architect, or maybe not so clearly. I loved playing with Legos. That was my childhood toy. And so and you know, Kinects and all the different toys were I got to build something. So from very early on, I knew I was headed in some sort of design career. And so the clarity that I got in high school was when I started like my high school drafting class. And so it was the one class or the one period that I would always stay the longest. You know, I was, you know, you couldn't pry me out of my chair because I was really, I loved drawing. At that point, I was hand drawing and we were doing residential design, but I always wanted to make sure that I was finished or that I got just enough to where when I came back, I was, you know, almost done, or I could see the vision of the design. So from very early on, I knew architecture and design was in my journey.
Were there any challenges you faced, and what were they? Have you had any situations where people did not take you seriously because of your ethnicity or gender? So we just want to hear from you, like, what was it like? I know that you started architecture, but how did that all work?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. You know, my career path is, I got to interior design in a sort of a roundabout way. Mm-hmm. Again, I knew about architecture and design, but I didn't instinctually know, at least at the very beginning, to be perfectly honest, I didn't know that I could start in interior design. If I had known that, I might have, you know, gone to school for interior design. All I knew was architecture, right? Or at least that's what my parents told me about, was like, oh, you could be an architect. So, you know, easy enough, right? I just looked for architecture schools and I applied, and that's how I got in. I think how I've grown my career, or why I'm in interior design, is because I love creating space. And I think that regardless of whether you start in architecture or whether you start in interior design, it's about placemaking. It's about creating a sense of place. And whether you're male or female or otherwise, it doesn't matter as long as you love to design. And so I would just encourage anybody who's interested in design and interested in creating the built environment to get into interior design or to get into architecture. It's so deeply personal to people and to me, but I think everyone's experiences matters, whether you're male or female or Black or Hispanic or otherwise. Are how, you know, we are designing space for people. And so how we experience the world as individuals influences how we can design better spaces for people, right? And I think that's that's the most exciting thing. And it's really curious to me. It's, you know, why people would shy away from interior design, because that's not necessarily, while there's a lot of women in the industry, there's also a lot of men. You know, in fact, I have 7 men on my team. That's not 50%, but that's certainly about 40 to 45% of my team. And so men or women or, you know, it's really, you know, do you like creating space? And if that's what you're passionate about, again, I think it really depends on sort of the scale of the project too, right? Because interiors generally, or at least this is how I found it to be, was that the spaces were smaller, or I should say the spaces were more intimate, right? Than necessarily designing a building, right? Because when you're designing a building, you're designing this big thing, and it's, you know, it's out in the exterior, and it's you're designing form and all those things. But when you get inside the building, it's not just one big box. It's a series of maybe a series of smaller boxes, or and so I always really appreciated the scale of the project and the pace of the project and the intimacy of the project, right? Because and how you move through the building, right? Because you're kind of going through these series of spaces, or as an interior designer or an interior architect, you get to craft that procession and the experience of people walking through that building, right? And so again, that to me is fascinating, right? And it's exciting because, you know, again, people experience the inside of the building more than they experience the outside of the building, right? People live inside buildings, they work inside buildings. And so, not to say that interior designer and architecture is more important than, let's say, architecture or what have you, but I think the profound impact that we can have on people is really exciting. So, wait,
Wow,
did that answer the question?
that was great. That was beautiful. That's probably the whole podcast there. No, but we totally agree. I mean, anyone can study whatever they want, whatever the situation.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about that, right, it's again, some spaces and, you know, some spaces are not gender specific, but there are spaces that, you know, again, right, when you think of, you know, just to, as a simple example, like a barbershop, right? A barbershop, men generally go to a barbershop, not exclusively, but are women designing that, or are men, right? An auto body shop, or, you know, there's sort of these male dominated spaces that I think, you know, people, you could benefit from a male perspective. I mean, and right? I mean, there are a lot of spaces. And again, it, you know, spaces don't have to be, you know, male or
Gender
female,
specific,
but there are spaces that resonate more, let's say, with men, right? And how could they bring sort of, again, their interest, their perspective to those spaces, right? I think that that's really, really interesting. And in design, you can decide what spaces you want to practice in, right? Or what markets you want to practice in. So, you know, whether it's in hospitality, where it's a little bit maybe a softer touch of, you know, the colors and those types of things, maybe, you know, you're you know, wanted to go into retail or any, you know, any type of market where you can do interior design. I mean, really, like, there is no limitation, right? So I think this community, our profession, benefits from having broad perspective across the spectrum, whether it's through gender or
Race.
ethnicity, race, all of that. Like, we, again, right? Like, we design for people, and this profession needs diversity, right? Because one group of people or one's gender can't design for the broad perspective, right? So we need diversity in our profession and in our teams, right? Like, we need a broad perspective of opinions and lived experiences to make our projects better. So absolutely, we definitely need more men, women, and of all different backgrounds.
I totally agree with that. The next question is, how can we make a change to bring more male creatives to the field? Is there something you would advise to creative mills who fear to be singled out in interior design?
I don't know how we might encourage specifically males, other than to say we design for a multitude of spaces, right? And while it is predominantly more women in this profession, I think maybe there's things that we can do within colleges and universities to design more diverse projects. I mean, I don't quite know what projects interior designers are being given necessarily, but you know, making sure that we have projects that are interesting and varied and complex, just like the people, just like the students, right? Like if there's a male in that class, again, yes, there's a lot of not soft skills, but you know, the things that we do, like picking colors and materials, are maybe a little bit, you know, softer, but I think, you know, you can create really edgy spaces, right? By the types of materials that you use, and you can use any kind of materials in your design, and you can make spaces raw and gritty, and just as much as you can make them soft and beautiful, you know, and you know what I mean? So maybe it's just bringing in different project briefs so that it's maybe attracts more males to the profession. And I would argue, again, maybe it's about communicating, you know, what interior design is really about, right?
Yeah.
If there isn't that clarity, I mean, again, while architecture is a predominantly male profession, you know, it's about creating, it's, you know, interior design is about creating space. And so we need to talk about it in those, in those terms, and talk about, again, how we as individuals experience space and how we contribute, and how we as individuals and our lived experiences and perspectives can change the space, can change the design, and encourage, just again, broad perspective to come to the table.
Yeah, both me and Giselle have had, I mean, Giselle right now is in an interior design class, and she said she had two or three.
It was two guys. One of them was more architect. The other one's like actually interior design. And the one architect, he dropped the class, but the one in interior design, he's actually doing really great. And like, he's like thriving in the class, doing both projects. Rather, it's like he makes it like how he likes it. He doesn't make it like any type of other way.
And it's interesting because I don't know, like, interior design is also very technical, right? It's not that it's not, you know what I mean? It is.
It's just like the fluffing of pillows. It's really not. It's so much more.
Absolutely. And so I think, again, I think it's maybe challenging and pushing, you know, the profession in or students looking to go into that profession to really have a really good understanding of materiality, constructability, you know, form, and all of these things, right? Again, it's not, yes, interior design is also about the prettiness, but it's about placemaking. It's about how we have functionality. It's, there's so many technical things. And again, depending on the market, right? If it's healthcare, or if it's education, or K through 12, or hospitality or retail, there's so many different, you know, markets that one can work in that could either be very, very technical or less technical and more, you know, again, more softer, and, you know, that type of thing, that type of feeling, right? So again, I mean, we all have to, you know, we, at the end of the day, these things have to get built, right? You know, we have to build these things, and the type of material that we use, whether it's paint or flooring, is very specific and is very, very technical. So, you know, it's not that it's not technical. It's just, you know what I mean? So it's like, how do we, you know, encourage, you know, males to come in? Man, I think it's just all how we talk about it, how we talk about what interior design is, and and the impact that it could potentially have.
What are some projects that have led you to where you are today as a director of interior design? So we know you had millions of projects and lots of years of experience. What's kind of your journey? How did you get
Yeah.
to be director of interior design?
I started out in architecture, and so and early on in my career, and one of the things that I really attribute my success and how I got to my career or how I got to my position, and I don't know if I mentioned this in my introduction, but I'm 41 years old as a director of interior design for a major regional firm in California. At 41, I don't particularly think I'm old, but I don't, but I'm also, I think I'm young, but I'm also not old, right? And so, and I think for people to be in my position, I think I am relatively young, and I attribute that success to my willingness to take on any project. And what I mean by that is whenever any of my managers or anytime a project came up, they would ask me, oh, do you want to do this, right? You know, let's say I was working in, you know, K through 12, and they're like, oh, do you want to do healthcare? And I would be like, sure, put me on a healthcare project, right? I'm happy to learn. So that's, you know, so that's kind of how we started. I actually started off in healthcare, and I, you know, there's so much to learn about healthcare. And then they're like, do you want to do K through 12? I'm like, sure, put me on K through 12. So I started doing K through 12. Do you want to work on a university? Sure, put me on a university project. So I started working on university projects. We had, you know, the firm HMC had an opportunity to, or at one in our practice, we started doing justice work, and we had an opportunity to do a women's detention facility, so justice work, a correctional facility. Unlike any project I've ever worked on, but they're like, "Do you want to work on a detention facility?" Sure. The idea is that I never closed myself off to opportunity and to learn. And so, because I had sort of this broad range of experience, this is true even in project type, but also during the different phases of construction. Again, my journey is a little different in the sense that I started in architecture and then I got into interior design, but I was willing to go out and, you know, I did the design work. I learned how to put a set of drawings together. I went out into the construction site, and I did the punch walks, and I resolved the issues. And so part of my success is knowing how to, it is again, the willingness to take on sort of any project type, the willingness to learn and be challenged, the ability to know how to kind of do it all, right? I can design, I can put together a set of construction documents. I know how to take it through the agency, you know, whether it's the building department, and then talking to contractors, talking, you know, getting it done and getting it complete. I had the ability and the opportunity to be able to experience all of that in my young career. That has just given me, again, the experience to move up in my organization into a leadership role. And that's just experience, right? That's just, you know, obviously you have to have personality and you have to be passionate about what you're doing. And so I am just so fortunate that my leadership has given me the opportunity and has trusted me enough to actually lead people now, right? So, you know, part of my job as a director of interior design is not only the design work, but it's how to lead and inspire my team to do better work. Do that by, again, by the passion that I bring for what I do and for the experience that I have to make them better and to challenge them. And so that has been sort of really concisely sort of the journey is I've sort of done it, not all of it, because you know I haven't done it all, but I've at least within my markets I've done the role, I've done many different roles, and I've been successful enough at it to where I've been able to move up quickly and have the role that I'm in to affect change, hopefully for the better.
Yes.
With all that being said, what is the secret to making your project stand out?
I don't know if there's a secret, but I think it's having a really clear idea or concept. Well, that's required. Having a really clear idea or concept is sort of
The base.
basis, right? But maybe the secret is how I connect those ideas and concepts to my client. I always challenge my team to, I mean, because there's always these wonderful concepts and things like that. And one of the things I tell my team is, so what? That, if it's a concept about water, okay, water's important, or everybody needs water, right? How is that important to my client, or how is that important to your client? What about water is going to resonate with them? Maybe water is important because they are a conservationist, organization, and that's what they focus on. So they focus on water. But maybe it's a healthcare client, right? And is water going to resonate with them? Yeah, maybe, but maybe water resonates with the healthcare client because of how soothing water is. So how you hear water trickle down and how it comforts people and how water makes people feel, right? So the thing that I always really try to do is make sure that whatever the idea is or the concept is, that it connects with my client, that it resonates with them, and that honestly, that they fall in love with it, right? So again, maybe the second secret to the success is I always try to tell a story when I present my concept or my project to my client. Because what I try to do is I try to tug at their heartstrings a little bit. But again, that's finding the idea that resonates with them, right? And if you can find an idea that resonates with them and you can tell them a story about how you walk up to the building and into the front doors and through the spaces and what they're going to experience and how they're going to feel. And then at the end of this corridor, then it's this beautiful view out to, whatever, and or you walk into this space and all of these things and what they're seeing, without even showing them anything, right? How we communicate, how we describe our projects and how we tell the story is critically important to them being able to visualize it without even seeing a rendering, right? Without them. And I feel like when you can tell a story like that, it connects. They can see it in their head because you're telling something so compelling, or you're telling something that again, that they connect with, that they're like, yes, that's exactly what I want. That's, or that's exactly the feeling that I want my students to have, or I want my staff to have, or I want my visitor to have. I want them to feel like this. And again, right? Finding a way to connect the idea and the concepts to who they are as an organization, to who they are as a client, and how they want to make people feel within their space, I think is the thing that is probably the most convincing, right? Because I think someone else can probably describe my projects differently. And maybe they're saying the same things, they're just not saying it the same way, right? And that I think is. Makes all the difference. I think makes all the difference. And so I hope, as I sit here and I talk to you and your audience, that you can hear sort of the excitement and the passion that comes with describing design and interiors, because it's important and it's fun and and I'm passionate about it, right? So I hope I'm able to convey that. And that is really sort of maybe the secret sauce, right? Is that's the thing that I think has makes my project successful.
What is something interesting that you have designed that you were like, I never thought I would be designing for this? And you were at that stage and you're like, wow, I can do this.
Oh man, there's that's such a good question, and I think the thing that There's two things that have impacted my life and my career. So I will start with one of the projects that that was really interesting was designing a women's detention facility. And this was a different type of facility. It wasn't sort of the run-of-the-mill. The client was on board to make this a restorative detention facility for women. And so the approach, they didn't want it to be like a jail or like a prison. They wanted it to be different. And because they came to us with this idea that we were going to make this, for the lack of a better word, or just to picture it in your mind, a prison, they didn't want it to make it feel like the prison. They wanted to make it feel like it was a college campus, right? And yes, you know, people are there, women were there, you know, against their, you know, will, meaning they were being detained. But how could we make this, the cells, if you will, more like college dorm rooms? How do we make the buildings like the dining hall or the spaces where they go for their education? You know, there's many different building types within this. Within this project, there was dining, there was housing, there was education, there was religious, there was a chapel. There's all the things that people need, all the building types that people need within this campus. And so our goal was to make it feel like a campus, make it feel not like a jail or a prison. And so that shift between it's not supposed to be a prison, that it's really supposed to have it. I mean, it, while let's be clear, it has to have all of the requirements of all of the security measures and all the requirements of a detention facility. We had to be able to sort of mask those things, those features, and make the buildings softer, right? Make them more humane. As much as we could, so that the experience was different for the inmates, right? And so that was a that was sort of a project type that is sort of career defining for me. Now the my personal side of me, so I'm a gay male. I know this is also part of my introduction, but I'm a gay male who is married and adopted two children from the county, from Children's Services, right, from the county of LA. And the thing for me is what resonates with me is children and making sure that we are providing the resources and the spaces for children to thrive, right? And that has led me to designing you know, children's spaces at children's hospitals. It has allowed me to help me refocus or understand how to create spaces in schools, depending on, again, my experience with my kids and having gone and adopted kids through the foster system. And so that has changed my perspective. And so where my passion lies is, you know, how do we create, you know, wonderful spaces for kids, whether it's at school or in a hospital. And so that has allowed me, while, you know, my lived experience has allowed me to focus what I want to do with my career moving forward, which is focus on spaces for children and how to, you know, again, give them spaces where they learn, heal, thrive, especially for kids who haven't had the same opportunities that we might all have had growing up.
Yeah, what you said was pretty great. Hopefully, this will get some males to come on aboard.
Yeah, I hope so. And I we need more males and we need more diversity. So I
Yes.
hope that's encouraging. So thank you again for having me, both of you,
Thank
Giselle and
you.
Amari.
Thank you for joining in. Please give us feedback and let us know any other topics you would like to hear from us.
Oh, don't forget to subscribe. Bye.